Dorothy Fosdick, she passed on already, of trading B-47s for Badgers. Well, I told her, I said, my God, and checked it out with the chief of staff first, LeMay. He said, no, well, they shouldn't be carrying this stuff around in written form. It's all in writing. We got a copy of it, kept it. Confidence. 2-3 days later, Goldwater got a hold of this through someone, I suppose, in the airport.
That's right, I remember that, yeah.
And I said, one simple question. It's like apples and oranges. A Badger cannot make an attack on the United States proper, or on our retaliatory system, but a B-47 can on theirs. But you see what I...
Yeah, but the guy's an idea, don't
he? Well, I love Butch. He's a nice guy. He meant well.
But the fact of the matter is, if you just look at what we've done in the field of national defense, I don't think that you can hold the view that Jerry Wiesner or Butch Fisher or Chester Bowles are determining the
general counsel over here in the Defense Department.
McNaughton.
Jesus. You got Abe Shays, who's a nice guy. There's a little group. You better watch.
Yeah, but Abe, that's right. But Abe isn't married making. Abe hasn't had anything to do with making policy.
But
you asked him to look up the definition of quarantine. I can tell you that. I quite agree.
I agree, but
I mean, it takes all time. But the fact
is, Jerry Wiesner now, you know.
But Jerry Wiesner doesn't. Jerry Wiesner, I've asked Jerry Wiesner to spend a lot more time and a lot of other things, the scientific manpower, the question of desalinization, and all the rest. He's long been a bug on disarmament, but he's not setting the American position.
But it doesn't help election time come around. It turns out he went to Pugwash. I'm just saying these things,
yeah.
You know. These are all things that disturb me. My point is that I think we lose a lot of the cutting edge of this business of military buildup because some of these people...
But how can you just, on the one hand, Scoop, on the one hand, we have put a hell of a lot more effort into defense and space, and it's true, we may have some, you know, everybody says, why don't you do something about Arthur Schlesinger? Obviously, there are, particularly in the Democratic Party, or maybe in any party, there are people who have a different view. But I don't think you got John McCone, who, after all, we got the CIA, and Bob McNamara in defense, Dean Ross, Doug Dillon, these people are in the National Security Council.
I'm more worried about, you know, whether they'll carry out your policy. This is the biggest problem that they have. Now, a while back on underground testing, I'm checking it for sure, but I know that Jerry was responsible for cutting back on the requested underground tests. What I'm disturbed about is that some of these people can hurt you, and they, you know, really don't carry out what you have in mind. Norton has told people that he's just against any nuclear testing any place. I know.
Yeah, but on the other hand,
he's working on the draft of the treaty.
Yeah, he's working on the draft of the treaty.
That treaty got unnecessarily screwed up over there. There's no reason for all those ambiguities, let's face it.
Which ones?
I'm talking about the test ban thing.
Well, I know, but which ambiguity?
Well, I'm talking about the loose language with reference to the possible interpretation that you couldn't use it in nuclear war.
Well,
as
a matter of fact,
that didn't need to...
Well, I think, as a matter of fact, that came up in a discussion, and Abe Chase actually was the one who raised the question. Then we sent an instruction to Abel Harriman, told him to take this language up in conversation with Gromyko and make it very clear. And we took it up also with the British. And it was actually Abe Chase and the State Department counsel who brought over the possibility. Well, now, the fact of the matter is, you have to be a lawyer to come to that conclusion. There's no ambiguity. It's a provision against a test ban treaty. We could find it here. As long as we understand it, they understand it. It seems to me, and we've given these assurances, who's going to say that we're not?
Yeah, but the point I'm making is all you have to do is look at the one that we had before, and those changes were not in there. Dean pointed this out very well in his testimony. I like these guys personally. I kind of be friendly to you about it. God knows, no one in the Senate. I make speeches in which I state my views, which I think we should. But
the other thing is, I don't think we should apologize to anybody for those. When you look at the addition,
I'm not apologizing to anyone. I don't talk about.
We can talk about the Zion Center, but it seems to me we do have a story to tell about what we've done in the field of defense. In fact, the Beast 47 would have been ours. We could have, might as well have burned it. Under the previous administration, it wouldn't have been any B-47. We're the ones who continued them after the Berlin Conference.
I agree. That's why I don't want to see us, fritter this away. This is what I'm concerned. I think anyone who's honest with you will tell you that we've taken unjustified criticism. Here we've had this big buildup, yet the big issue continues to be, I think, in this coming campaign, outside of the problem of civil rights and so on, the national security aspect.
Yeah, but I think you've got a good story. When we came in here, we had two problems. In January 19th, when we had a meeting in there, and Eisenhower and Lemnitz and everybody recommended that we intervene militarily in Laos. And in the summer, we had and Berlin was under maximum threat. The fact of the matter is, Berlin has never been more secure than it now is. We've still kept Laos. We are. The examiners would improve their public relations. We're really doing well in that war there, which I just was reading a report from Hawkins and Kulak, who's just been out there. And so we've got, I think, we've got, with all the problems in the world, we've liquidated Congo. Cuba remains the tough one. But I mean, Christ, we were given that.
Well, I think the criticism we're going to be up against is whether we have the will to use our power and how far we go. This was the gun
that we made that very clear in two ways. First, in 1961 over Berlin, when we got an ultimatum from Khrushchev, which he had to eat. And the second was last October in the case of Cuba. I think we can make the argument. We're prepared to, on those occasions. The fact of the matter is, Khrushchev said in June in Vienna that by December he was going to sign a peace treaty, and any American forces that moved across East Germany would be guilty of an act of war. Well, now he had to eat it after we increased our defense.
Yeah, but he ate an awful lot of crap.
I know, they're going to make that charge. We made that charge against them. But I mean, I think we have an answer.
Which we still may have to intervene in Laos. I went out there for 10 days in Vietnam, went on a couple of missions, and watched that operation. And if they play it all smart, all they have to do is take Laos and you completely outflank, South Vietnam. And I think you have to, from a strategic point of view, hold that area along the Mekong. That's about two-thirds of Laos anyway, population.
That's a hell of a place to intervene.
I know, but if they play it smart, where the hell are we? We just keep pouring over $1 billion a day into South Vietnam. They have a blanket.
I agree. I think that's why we've always felt we would have to indicate to them that we would intervene along the Mekong. We can't get anybody else to intervene.
No, I see. It's a rough one, but I don't think it's over with.
No, I don't think it is.
The Chinese and Russians.
But I think twice about Laos, even though we won't threaten to, and I think it's been the reason that they haven't taken all of Laos is because they think we might. I'm sure they can help a lot of people putting a lot of.
We'll do it after election.
I agree with that.
A lot of them after election.
Well, all I want to say, Scoop, was that I think you can make a hell of a difference in this debate. And I think that having gone this far and having signed this government, that if we get beaten on it, I think we'd find ourselves in a much worse position than we would have been if we hadn't brought it up. Now, my guess is the Chinese communists may explode a bomb in 2 years, and we may then decide to resume testing. At least,
sooner than that, possibly.
Well, maybe in a year, 18 months. Yeah. But so I'm not saying this is for. I've never thought this treaty was for good or for long. But I think that as a political effort at this time, it doesn't. We wouldn't be testing anyway till 64. And I think that over the next 18 months, it could be of some significance to us.
Well, I think it depends on our will. It's what we're really doing is reinstituting the moratorium, we hope, with our eyes wide open this time.
That we have underground testing.
Well, I'd say one addition, but
that's
it's essentially...
That's a point difference, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
It doesn't need those laboratories.
Except that, and I think actually they could do more by extrapolation and by various simulated types of tests in addition to actual fairly what they have found beyond just the blast, the obvious blast capabilities of high-yield nuclear tests. There's a whole field of new scientific phenomena that no one seems to know the answer. And I'll be honest with you, whatever, if I go along on this speech, I'm going to come up, go along on the treaty. If I do on it, I hope I can, but I'll see. I'm going to try to decide tomorrow on it. It seems to me that we're going to have to tell the American people we're going to spend more on delivery systems, because we're going to have to offset the qualitative advantage that they have in high yield with more delivery systems to compensate for the advantage that we have quantitatively in weapons, I mean in warheads. And I think it's going to cost more to test underground. It's going to run into more money, so it isn't going to cost less. It's going to cost more. I mean, that's my own analysis.
Yeah, it will be some greater cost.
We're going to have to pay a price for secrecy that they have. That's a hell of a weapon in their arsenal. So we're going to have to do additional
things. Except we can watch pretty well what they do.
Well, the only thing, I agree, the question is, what have they learned that we really don't know about?
Excision 2. 1 minute, 23 seconds excised.
Look, I don't want you to feel that I'm carrying on some vendetta. All these people are personal friends of mine, Jerry Wiesner and Shays. I know them all. I don't know. Not too well, but I just hope you don't mind my being candid with you, because I don't talk about this to other people.
Well, I'm aware that, you know, that some
people just watch it so that they're down below here and they can screw you up. This is what disturbs me, and I like Jerry, but I think he ought to be off on something else. That whole Science Advisory Committee ought to be reshuffled. You should have the majority-minority views. Dissent is what I'd encourage. I'll never forget this. Brian put me on the subcommittee on the hydrogen bomb in 49. Every member of the Atomic Energy Science Advisory Committee was against going ahead with it, only Teller. And he wasn't on it. Everyone. And everyone on the commission was against it, except old Louis Strauss. I hated to see that he was the one, but...
I read that book.
But it's a sad story, you see. The scientists are no help on this. Now, Edward gets a little excited, but this guy has been right on big issues. He took on Hans Bethe when we got into the difficulty about the threshold for seismic detection, underground tests. Beta came up for a joint committee, and he says, "Well, the threshold is set here."
Excision 3. 4 seconds excised.
There's no question about this. 6 months later, he had to come back and admit that Teller was right. Now, I'm not one who agrees with everything of Teller, but I like to have these dissenting voices around. Johnny Foster is another terribly competent guy. And I would like for you to see, for your own sake, is that you get enough of the dissenting point of view. After all, you have to make the decisions. And
Jerry Wiesner is leaving, and I'd be delighted to get, if you suggest somebody to be a science advisor, because you've got to get a new...
Oh, I don't want to butt into that, but I'm suggesting that...
But I think we ought to.
Let's don't get a monolithic organization set up there.
What do you think of those fellows?
That are on there?
Yeah.
I haven't gone over the list. They've got some good people. But all I'm suggesting is that have the Bethes on there and have the Kistiakowskis. I have no objection to that. But also have the Tellers and the McMillans and the Griggs and these people. I believe in dissent. Just like old Rickover. If he didn't have a little dissent, where the hell would he be with the nuclear stuff? You know, he was a real bastard to the Navy. But that's my only suggestion I'd make from your point of view. And I wouldn't want you to say anything to these other people that I was down here hollering about them. I understand.
I understand that. No, I think
I've thinking of you and your own situation, because other people might not tell you this, but I just am disturbed by a lot of these things. And I think we lose the cutting edge of what we've done here by a lot of it.
Well, as a matter of fact, though, I'm merely
saying this is a state of mind.
I'll tell you, you may learn when you sit here that you find that it's there's a hell of a vested interest, but there's a hell of a vested interest in proving any Democratic president to be wrong or soft in Congress. And the fact of the matter is that I've been aware, and Gary Wiesner is the first to admit that he's soft on this nuclear disarmament. I mean, that's been his life work. That's why I've always. But he, on the other hand, he really provides a good deal of the dissent in a valuable way, because the fact of the matter is the pressure comes completely always the other way. For the number of tests, the kind of tests, the question of really going to the moon, all the rest. Jerry Wiesner is actually the only voice usually against any of these things, and therefore he provides a valuable service.
Yes, but
the military pressure is always for, as you know, the AEC predominantly has been, not so much, but certainly the Defense Department have poured it in, and the Chiefs of Staff and all the rest.
But the Science Advisory Committee, though, is in a crucial position, and all my only suggestion is
to... I agree with that.
That's all I'm suggesting, and they do affect weapon systems throughout the whole...
If I say, just speaking, I think that probably this thing isn't going to last the test ban. I think it's an endeavor, really, in this Sino-Soviet thing, and I don't think that the dangers we suffer, given the fact that I expect the Russians with its Chinese main test in 2 years, and I would presume that at that time the United States would probably regard the treaty as out. So I wouldn't say any of this. I just think that we therefore really wouldn't be testing anyway, even if we were going to test for 64.
Well, I realize we're committed in May of whatever it was, June of 64. As long as we protect the deterrent, as long as, make it clear continuously that these safeguards are going to be implemented, but it's more than that, actually. It's a state of mind that's going to be left with the public, that we an attitude. Whether we have the will to make a real effort to continue to protect ourselves. This is the thing that you want to keep doing. And I don't mean to be a warmonger and all that stuff, but to keep in mind when the occasion arises that we're doing this and this and this, that this, after all, is the means by which we, maintain the peace. There's so many nutty ideas floating around that disturb me. I mean, let's face it, a lot of these peace people mean well, but they state one fallacy after another, and people agree to them. Now, all arms races lead to war. This is a fallacy. We all know that World War II didn't start from an arms race. If it was, it was a one-sided one. And when you get right down to it, seems to me in this test ban matter, it's whether or not we're going to let the American people realize that peace is not breaking out all over. I know we're trying to do this. I think Russ did a damn good job up there. I think he handled himself well. He's very articulate anyway, and he's good with words, and he's sure as hell protected himself.
I heard that he had it very well. Are you going to come out?
Well, what about the trip out there?
I'm supposed to be at Friday, after Tacoma, I think.
I think you ought to make two stops. You ought to come into the west side. I see at the office, you went to Hanford, Thursday, Friday.
Deed Excision 1. 1 minute, 6 seconds excised.
He might be able to support it, but he's not shooting much. I'm going to go out for the document, Mr. McMillan.